Good morning and welcome to another Hump Day Hallelujah. I'm Pastor Scott, coming to you from Ascension Lutheran Church in Citrus Heights. And it's good to be with you on this Wednesday morning. As I was thinking about what to share with you this morning, I was remembering while I was on sabbatical, one of the authors I read was an author I knew, but I had never read before, Brennan Manning. And I don't know why I had never read him before, but I hadn't. And while we were cleaning out my wife's, Robin's, father's library after he passed, I grabbed a bunch, I don't know, four or five books by Brennan Manning. And so during sabbatical, I began to read those books, the first being The Ragamuffin Gospel, which I highly recommend. It's, I don't know, 20, 25 years old, but The story of God's grace and the assurance of God's love for each and every one of us is timeless, and so I encourage you to read it. More recently, I've been reading from his book called The Furious Longing of God, which is not the furious longing for God, but God's longing to be in a relationship and to love each and every one of us. And I came across a story within the book that he tells, a story that from his own ministry, Brennan's ministry, a Catholic priest who had his own share of challenges, a recovering alcoholic, and had really bottomed out at one point of his life. Anyway, and the story he tells was in the early 1960s. He was working on a college campus, and he has a young student who he referred to as being probably visually, looks-wise, maybe the least approachable student on campus at the time. Short, large, overweight, acne, unkempt, and certainly not very confident. And he had explained to Brennan that he was he didn't believe in God, and well, that same student that after the beginning that the end of that semester went home for Christmas, and as the story goes, had over dinner with his very Irish Catholic parents, told them that he needed to go back to school the next day to make this. He tells it even longer, even believe it or not, that I'm sharing it now. So he and his father ride the bus together, and his dad, they get off at the same bus stop for the student to change buses to get to the airport, and his father to go to work at the textile mill. As they get off the bus, some of his father's coworkers are across the street, and they start making fun of his son about his weight, about the way that he looks, about what they would do to him if he was their son, and how they'd kick him out, and so forth. And this student's father grabs his son for the first time he ever remembered him doing it, hugged him, kissed him, and told him how proud he was to be his father, that if he lived to be 200, it wouldn't give him enough time to thank God for giving him to he and his mother as their son, and how proud he was of him. That student went back to campus and eventually went and met with Brennan Manning and told him that he wanted to hear about this Jesus that he had been talking about, who he didn't believe in. And in the meantime, he had begun to care more about his hygiene and the way he wore his clothes, and he combed his hair, and he even came to have a girlfriend and become the president of a fraternity, going from the margins of the society on campus to more towards the center. Over 6 weeks, Brennan met with him every week for about a half an hour to talk about the Jesus who the Spirit had revealed to him. And eventually, that young man became a priest. And the writing at the time he wrote the story had been actually serving in South America as a missionary for 20 years. And Brennan makes the point in this story that the healing that that young man received was not in the time that he spent with him talking about who Jesus is, that maybe had an impact on his coming to faith. The true healing that happened was his father embracing him in response to the catcalls and the mocking and the bullying, really, that he was receiving that day. That his healing began there. We read a lot in Scripture about times where healings take place, when Jesus heals, and we wonder if healings happen now. And Brennan's point is that healings do happen even now. They may not happen in the way that we see in Scripture. They may not be these physical healings, but these emotional healings actually can result in physical healing as well, as we begin to feel better and about ourselves and have less emotional scars. It changes the way that we treat ourselves, our bodies, the way that we interact with the world, which can bring about some physical healing. So the encouragement I took from that story is that each of us can be a part of that healing. We don't know how the words that we say might have an impact on a person, might change the trajectory of a person's life, might provide healing where we didn't even know healing was necessary. So I encourage you to be intentional, to be thoughtful about the ways that you interact with other people, and to know that God, in that instance, may be using even you, even me, to provide some level of healing that might forever change the course of a person's life. Maybe a little heavy for a Wednesday morning, but something to ponder. I highly recommend either of the books I already mentioned by Manning, and there are plenty others. Take care. I hope to see you in worship.